Blog Talk Radio.
Some of y'all standing up here looking cute. I got a message for you. You got your little Mercedes, your little Cadillac, your little Lexus. You think you somebody? I got a message for you. You don't really need to tell them. Before you sit down and tell them, this is a sanctified church. You may be seated. I can get me one right now. We ain't even to the second song. But my sanctified feet feel like testifying. But you don't know what he done for me. You don't know like I know.
God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life, And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment, that time that I felt so alone. Some of my friends, they let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me, around for me, around for me, it's turning around.
Just say it into the atmosphere.
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is.
God is making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
There's no reason to doubt.
I know he's working it out. And it's turning around. This is the good news.
And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concern.
And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around.
Concerning me,
and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Just
lift your hands to the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. Now let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me. 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 Around for me.
It's turning around. I can feel it happening.
Not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sooner or later, if we have patience to wait on God, it's going to work in our favor because he's able to turn it around for us. Hallelujah. And so we're grateful this morning unto Almighty God for another week ended. He has brought us through this week up until Friday, September the 17th, 2021, 9 months and 17 days. Into this new year, he has been faithful unto us. We may have been sick. We may have gone through things, and life hasn't been peaches and cream. But nonetheless, we're blessed to be here, and we yet have hope. Hallelujah. Yet have hope in Almighty God that have all power. There is no higher power today. And so we're grateful unto him. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries. And I come each weekday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And again, today, September the 17th, 2021. Hallelujah. This is a day we never saw before. And throughout the day, we know that God have a purpose and a plan for our lives. And if we'll seek him with our whole heart, if we'll delight ourselves in him, if we'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, we don't have to worry about the results. What we got to be concerned about is following the instructions. Because when we follow the instructions of God, it's an automatic blessing. It's automatic miracles. Yeah, it's automatic. Our lives are lining up with him. And when God is pleased, there is nothing he will not do for us. So we thank him this morning, and we're moving on today. We're going to be listening to today, Dr. Marcus and Dr. Marcus Cosby. And he's got a wonderful message for us today. And I'm grateful to have found this message. And, you know, God just have a mighty sweet way. And he's talking about today making sense out of nonsense. Making sense out of nonsense. And also today is Testify Friday. So if you have a testimony you want to share with us today, to talk of God's wondrous works and you're making known his deeds among the people, feel free to press that number one around 9 a.m. and we will bring you in and you can share your testimony. And so we're thankful that we have testimonies. When I look through the Bible, there are many. I was looking at John out on the Isle of Patmos. He said he was out there and he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And God began to give him some information, and he began to share these were testimonies unto him of what he saw, what God showed him. And it's a beautiful thing when you have a testimony of God. And if we, you know, just seek him with our whole heart, and we may go through some things, but the ending result is going to be a testimony unto him for what he has done for you. Great and mighty things. But it all starts with faith. because those of us that have come to him and received him as our Lord and Savior, we had to come by faith. Yeah. So it says that we came by faith. And we came because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah, by faith we constantly, we continuously, we always seeking him by faith, believing. Even when we pray, we believe that not only he hear the prayer, but he's going to answer. We believe that if we walk according to his word, we're going to be rewarded, because guess what happens? Now we've been in the word to study his word, so now we know what he says and we can share it with others. For the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers, but we want to remember the labor that he either called or chose us for, or called and chose us for. Yeah, we don't ever want to forget that, because he needs workers in this hour. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve, and we're grateful unto him. I want to share this morning. I was Zooming with my daughter on yesterday, and she's still in stable condition. And yesterday, when I looked at her, boy, she was just resting, you know. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the strength to even come to Zoom to take a look at her in the condition that she's in. Because no mother wants to see their child suffering. No mother wants to see their child in the hospital sick. No. We always want to see our children up in good health and doing good things. But we know that sometime in this life, things happen that we have no control over. And these are the things that we take to God in prayer. And we leave it on the altar with him and walk away, believing that because we left it in his care, he's going to take care of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I've had several people to say, well, Barbara, how you do? Well, it's through God. It's through Jesus. Yeah. Without him, I can do nothing. I had a call yesterday from a friend of the family in Georgia, and he and I talked, and, you know, he wanted to share the word with me, and everything like that, and I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate that, because everything is going down but Jesus. Everything is going down but the word of God. And today he's still the word. And so we thank God for the word this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God for faith, trust in him. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. All that he has given unto us, we thank him for it. And these are great tools that we can use to get through this life, because this is not our home. We're in the earth, but we're not of the earth. We're passing through. This, for me, is a workstation. This is where I work unto him daily. But one day I'm going to clock out from my work here for the last time. Hallelujah. And either I'm going to take my rest, or I'm going to be judged by him. And, you know, hoping and praying I've done all he required, that when I stand before him, he will see himself in me. Yeah, he will see his son in me. You know, we often pray to let this mind be in us that was also in his son, Christ Jesus. So when I stand before him, I'm hoping he see the traits of his son in me. You know, I went where he said to go. You know, people were against me, but I stood, because I was standing on the word. And after standing, I stood some more. I allowed him to fight my battles. I didn't fight my own. I loved those that were my enemies. Yeah, I prayed for those who despitefully used me. Yeah, I did what he said. And so now here I am standing before him and listening to hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Yeah, because he sent his son Jesus back so that he could prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also one day. Hallelujah. A man was trying to tell me, we have heaven right here. No. No, not yet. Now, he said he was bringing down a new heaven and a new earth. We can be in some heavenly places in Jesus. Yes, that's true. But this is not heaven. This is not my home. This is the earth. And I'm simply, well, we are simply passing through. And today, if you have a prayer request, feel free to press that number 1 and come in and give the prayer request. We want to be praying for Brother Anthony, his mother and his grandmother, because he contracted COVID from one of the workers. And he says, not a bad case, and he thanked God for that, but he requested prayer. And I know he's usually working or whatever, but sometimes he get things in late, and I'm ending the show, and I can't, you know, go back to request the intercessors for prayer. But this morning, we're requesting prayer for Brother Anthony, and I posted it over on Facebook, and many saw it on yesterday and commented. And I thank you for that, because we need prayer. Man ought to always pray and not faint. Pray without ceasing. And many times we ask God to pray through our mouth because we don't know what to pray for. Hallelujah. He knows what's best, and he gave us a mediator. Hallelujah. His son, Jesus Christ. And he come in and he prayed through us. Yeah, many mornings he has prayed through me because I really didn't know what to pray for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He's on our side today. He's got all the power. So all power, again this morning, is on our side. And his word says, if he be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. So do we focus on these things? Do we meditate on these great and precious promises that God has given unto us? Oh, yeah, that's exciting news right there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Rose Brown, I have a song request that I want to play for you this morning. And I want to play this one because I feel led to do it. And there's a purpose for this. And it's unto God. It's not unto us. It's not unto everybody. But there's a purpose in this for you, Rose Brown, because he showed this to me for you. So I have to be obedient. Hey, glory. I am today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. We're grateful unto you, Father. We give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In this day, we worship you in spirit and in truth for what you're doing right now. Father, what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do for us. We are your people. Hallelujah. We are your children. And we come humbly unto you in thanksgiving. For there's none like you. We can search all over. Father, we won't find anybody, nobody greater than you. We appreciate you this morning. We're grateful unto you. We thank you. And we love you this day. For it was you who first loved us. So we want to praise you this morning in spirit and in truth. We want to give you our whole heart. We want to seek you with our whole heart. We don't want to lean to our own understanding. Father, we want to acknowledge you this morning, knowing that you will direct our path. We give you glory. Hallelujah. There's none like you. Oh, thank you, Lord. So Rose Brown, I'm going to this one for you this morning. And we just tell God thank you. Hallelujah.
With our arms open wide.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. Yeah, Lord, we need a fresh anointing upon us that we will obey you, God, that we will get it right with you, because one thing I remember, we know not the day nor the hour when death will call our names. Hallelujah. And we go, well, it's not death, but we go to take our rest. We don't know. We don't know the day nor the hour when God will return for his church, the church without spot or wrinkle. So we want to stay in a place with him where his spirit can constantly fall upon us. Hallelujah. And we are led by the spirit of God, not by our flesh and our thoughts and the things that we want to do, but we are led by his spirit. And if we're led by his spirit, it's going to lead us into all truth. It's going to lead us into the right places. Yeah, we're going to be able to obey him because we will remember what his word said concerning us. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there today. Amen goes right there, because we want to be obedient unto him. Bring our flesh under subjection. Yeah, let our flesh die so that Almighty God can live in us. And that's a beautiful thing. Yes, to let the spirit of the true and living God Jehovah live in us. And we are obedient unto him. You know what it takes? It takes a focus. We have to focus, yeah, to make sure we're on the right path. I was talking to the Lord last night, and I was telling him this, you know, that I thank him because I have no distractions. You know, nobody's here telling me one thing and I got to do another. Nobody's in here cussing and I'm aggravated, I'm frustrated. None of that. If I fail to pray and my soul get lost, it's nobody's fault but my own. Because he has opened every door for me to stay with him. Every door has been opened to me. Again, I have his word. I have his spirit. I have faith. He gave me the gift of love. Yes, yes, the gift of giving. And many different gifts he has given unto me according even to his word. So I just need to stay focused and in a place of obedience. And I pray for that spirit, the spirit of obedience. Lord, give it to me that I will obey you at any cost. Oh, this flesh can die so that I can obey you. Hallelujah. I don't want my living to be in vain. Oh, I don't want my running to be in vain. I don't want the work that I've done to be in vain. We're not saved by our works. It's by his grace and mercy. Most of all, his love for us. Because he found a way to redeem man. This is us, man, back to him. The generic term, man or woman. He found a way to redeem us back to him. Oh, it made me feel like screaming. Hallelujah. Because he blessed us. We were separated from God. And today, if we're sinning, we're separated from God. Yeah, because God and sin don't mix. It's like oil and vinegar. It won't work out together like that. So we either want one or we want the other. Hallelujah. And so we're grateful unto him this morning again, Almighty God, who have all power. His majesty, our Lord and Master, our Lord and Savior. Yeah, we have different names for him at different times. Yeah. And so I'm grateful. I appreciate him today. Yeah, because some of us, we don't appreciate him. We may take him for granted. And this is something we do not want to do. We don't want to do that. Yeah. Because he's worthy of all our attention if we can give it to him. He's worthy of all our focus. Yeah. He's worthy of our hearts and minds remaining on him. And he even said, if we'll keep our mind on him, he will keep us in perfect peace. No matter what go on, We can remain calm. We can remain joyful, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we're trusting with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him, he's going to direct the path. He'll direct our path. Yeah. Ah, I thank him today, because without him, it's no way I could continue to go on in him, continue to do what he called me to and what he chose me for. Because of this, my youngin' is in the hospital. Yeah, she's going through. It's no way. And then I get all of these different type things that look like it could be death for her. Ah, but look what he told me. Because he saved her, for her to be absent from that body, she'll be present with him. Oh, do somebody understand? So I have to lift him up, because either way it go, we're winners. If she lives and he raises her up off her sick bed, we're winners. If he take her home, guess what? We're still winners. Yeah. He's that kind of God. He always give a twofold blessing. If I bless you, he going to bless me. Isn't that something? So no matter what, we have the great God, all-powerful, all-knowing God, all-wise God, the God that sit high and looks low, the God that eyes are in every place, he's beholding the evil and the good. Again, the God that without him, we can do nothing. And guess what he told us we could do again today? Cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. I'm talking about all power caring for us. And if we're missing something, if we're miserable, if we're doubting, that's because we don't believe and we don't cast our cares upon him. We don't believe he cares for us. Whatever little thing, the tiniest thing that concerns you, it concerns him. And he made it simple and easy. He said, the faith the size of a mustard seed. If you have that little bit of faith, you can tell the mountain to go out to the sea. It's got to go. How we believe this morning. That's why we're called believers. We believe every word he said. We believe him. We believe that he so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, we got to shake ourselves this morning and believe. Hallelujah. I'm grateful unto him. So look, we're going in this morning, and we're going in with Dr. Marcus Cosby. And his message is this: making sense out of nonsense. Hallelujah. Making sense out of nonsense. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. So let's take a listen.
Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 11. I'm reading tonight from the New International Version of the Holy Word of God, and this is what it says. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Amen. Praise God for his holy word. You may be seated even in the presence of our good and gracious God. For the time that is ours to share together tonight, I want to talk from the subject, making sense out of nonsense. Making sense out of nonsense. Have you ever been in a nonsensical situation? one of those situations out of which you could make neither head nor tail? Have you been in one of those circumstances, those precarious predicaments that left you scratching your head, wondering what in the world was going on in your situation? Have you ever been in that place in time, that moment in your history, where you just wanted to shout out, stop this ride, I want to get off? Have you ever been in that moment, that strange space, where you wanted to ask God, what's really going on? How did I get into this predicament, this lot in life? Why am I here, and what are you doing? If you'll be honest tonight, each of us who shares space in this place has been in that moment in time where, although Christian, although saved, we wanted to know what in the world was God up to in our lives. Each of us, if we live long enough, will find ourselves in a nonsensical situation. That space that makes you scratch your head, shake your head, wring your hands, and wonder what in the world is going on. I must admit to you tonight, church, I've been there. I've been in that space where I didn't know what in the world was happening. I've been there more times than I care to remember, to be honest with you. But one of the most precarious predicaments, one of the most nonsensical situations of my life, took place just about 2 years ago, when on the second day of January 2010, my telephone rang, was kind of ringing off the hook, as they say. And as I answered it, I found out that my big sister was found dead in her home that day. It didn't make any sense to us. This woman who was in good health, this woman who was in the prime of her life, this woman who had no ailments, no illnesses, she was not in bad health whatsoever, just laid down one night with a TV remote control in one hand and a cell phone in the other, and she did not awaken the next day. I must admit to you that as my brother and I stood at her casket for the last time before it was closed on her body, my big brother looked up at me and said, "Mark, this makes no sense." I had to admit to him, "Man, I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly with you." And we both stood there standing with our mother wondering what in the world was going on. Why were we in this space? Why were we in this unique area of life? It made no sense. We're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and on our way to heaven when we die. But that made absolutely no sense. He's a deacon, I'm a preacher, we both love the Lord with our whole hearts, but there's some moments in time that your church title can't get you out of nonsensical situations. There are some moments in time that your sanctification can't shake a nonsensical situation. There's some moments in time that no matter how saved you think you are, no matter how big your Bible is under your arm, no matter how much church you attend, you have to wonder at moments in life what in the world's going on. And if you're honest with your saved self, you will have to say, this makes no sense. And I'm wondering if I'm talking to anybody in this place tonight who knows the meaning of nonsensical situations. You know the feeling of a nonsensical situation. You know what it means not to be able to shake the frustration in which you stand. I know what it means. And many of us in the room, if not all of us, know what it means to be in a nonsensical situation. But join me, if you will, in a little town, remote village called Nain. For we are not the only ones who know what it means to be in a nonsensical situation. You and I are not the only ones who understand what it means to wonder why we're in the space where we find ourselves. We're not the only ones who scratch our heads and shake our heads and wring our hands wondering why in the world has God gotten us in the place where we find ourselves. Meet me in Nain. For in this remote, obscure village in Nain, we find a mother who finds herself in a nonsensical situation. In this little town called Nain, we don't know much about it. It's only mentioned one time in your Bible, and that's in Luke chapter 7 that we read in your hearing tonight. This remote, obscure village called Nain begs our attention tonight because in Nain, there's a funeral procession that's headed outside the city limits, headed to an interment where a young boy is going to be laid to rest for the final time.
in name. Here this procession now leaves the synagogue where the funeral has taken place. They're leaving, headed out to the cemetery where they're going to inter the body of this young boy. The eulogy has been preached. The songs have been sung. The scriptures have been read. The prayers have been prayed. The funeral directors have come and have now ushered the saints out of the synagogue. They're headed to the interment. All that's left to do is inter that body. Come back to the synagogue. Have some chicken and some Kool-Aid, and the evening shall be done. You know that's how we do at the end of the funeral service. That's all that's left to be done, and that's what they're going to do. And here goes this crowd of mourners. Can't you see them? They're forlorn. They're sad. Their hearts are broken. There are tears in their eyes. There's a mother in the midst of this crowd, and surrounding her are all of the weepers, all of those who come with their hearts broken, with their hearts saddened by the reality that this young boy is now dead and headed to the cemetery. It's a rough reality. For anyone who's been in that family procession, you know exactly how it feels. Any parent who's lost a child, you know exactly how that feels. And any mother who's had to deal with bereavement knows exactly how that feels. This mother is heartbroken, as are the rest of the saints, but there's something unique about her heartbroken situation. For this is not the first time that she's headed to the cemetery. If you heard what I read in your hearing tonight, you'll remember that she's been to the cemetery before. She's not going for the first time. She's been before, for the text says she's a widow, which means she's been to the cemetery before, and now she's headed again, not with her husband this time, but headed with her son. And not just her son, but the text says her only son is now in this coffin headed to the cemetery. Church, this makes no sense. For if you understand the mores, the customs of this time, whenever the husband had died, it was the responsibility of the son to therefore take care of his mother. And now mother has no visible means of support, because now husband and only son are now dead, and she doesn't know what she's going to do. Here she is in the midst of this crowd of solemn, sullen, forlorn, heartbroken individuals, headed from Nain, out of the city gate, headed to the cemetery to inter this boy. Can't you see this crowd of mourners as they process silently and solemnly to the cemetery? But keep your eyes open, because they're not the only crowd who's making their way in this scene. So there's another crowd in the text. This crowd is not sullen, solemn, and forlorn. This crowd does not seem to be heartbroken whatsoever. Look at this crowd, church, because as this crowd comes, there seem to be smiles on their faces. They seem to be celebrating as they're making their way toward Nain. One crowd leaving Nain solemn and sullen. Another crowd coming toward Nain smiling and celebrating. Look at these two crowds as they converge one against the other. Here's one crowd. They've got a boy in their midst who's being carried out to be interred. And then that son has lost his life, but there's another crowd that's coming. And in the midst of that crowd is another son. But that son's not dead. No, that son's very much alive. And it seems like that crowd is smiling and celebrating because they've seen what that son has done. We picked up in verse 11 in Luke chapter 7, but if you back up and read from the beginning of chapter 11, you'll find out that that son has done something most important. That son had been sent for by a centurion. That centurion had a soldier in his bank of soldiers, and he had fallen ill, almost at the point of death. That centurion heard that that man named Jesus, that other son, was able to do something for those who were sick and at the point of death. And as a consequence of him knowing what that son could do, he sent for Jesus. Jesus heard about that soldier, and he made his way, started making his way toward the centurion's house. And as he made his way toward the centurion's house, the centurion came out of the house again and sent and waved word to Jesus, said, "Don't come under my roof. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. All you need to do is speak a word. And if you speak one word, I believe my soldier will be healed. And the Bible says that as a consequence of this centurion's faith, Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith anywhere in Israel. And from that moment on, the centurion's soldier was healed. And there's a great crowd of folk who heard about what Jesus, that other son, had done. And as a consequence of hearing about what he had done, they started smiling, they started celebrating, and they started following him wherever he was headed. Church, here go these two crowds. One solemn and sullen, another smiling and celebrating, converging one against the other, one dead son, one living son, and here they come converging on one another, and Jesus is about to make some sense out of nonsense. Well, before I get there, may I please pause parenthetically and let everybody at the Shiloh Church know some things tonight. Because in this place right now, there's one crowd. And because of your situation and your circumstance, you're sullen and sorrowful. You can't begin to shake that frustration that's on your mind because you came into church with something that was plaguing you and would not let you go. And so you've not been able to enjoy worship since we've been in here. You've been sitting throughout all the music, throughout all the praise, throughout all the celebrating, and you're solemn and sullen. Ah, but there's another crowd who came into this place tonight saying, I can't help but lift up my hands. I can't help but give God glory because I've seen what the Lord has done quite recently, and I know he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. So you've been smiling. You've been celebrating. We can't even sit you down because you've thought about what Jesus has done in your life. And may I push it just a bit farther, because the truth is that same living son that was in the midst of those two crowds is in the midst of these two crowds, and if you came in here in a nonsensical situation, he showed up to make some sense out of your nonsense. I don't know which crowd you're in, but it doesn't matter which one you're in, because Jesus is here. And as long as Jesus is here, he's able to turn your sorrowful situation around and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is there anybody in the building tonight who can testify? He knows how to make sense out of my nonsense. Walk with me around Luke chapter 7. When Luke chapter 7, as these two crowds converge, the Bible says that this living son named Jesus sees this woman with tear-stained eyes, sees this woman with broken heart, sees this woman with a heavy spirit. I appreciate the fact that in the midst of all the folk who were there, Jesus saw her. Please don't miss that detail of the text. You just might miss your shout cue. Please don't miss that detail of the text, because it will bless your life before you leave the sanctuary tonight. The Bible says that in the midst of all of these folk, a large crowd following her and a large crowd following him, he saw her. First thing that the text teaches me tonight is that Jesus is deeply affected by every one of our predicaments. Can I say it again? It felt good just coming out. I said, Jesus is deeply affected by every one of our predicaments. Pastor Charles, they tell me the third time is a charm. Can I say it one more time? I said, Jesus, your Jesus, my Jesus, our Jesus is deeply affected by every one of our predicaments. In the midst of everybody who was there, he saw her. Now that blesses me, church, because many of us feel that if we get in a crowd such as this, many of us feel if we just slip into our pew where we always sit, if we just slide into a space near the back of the church, that nobody will be able to see our hurt. Nobody will be able to see our pain. Most of us have that church look on all the time, making everybody think that everything is all right in our world. Matter of fact, the one poet says that we wear the mask that grins and lies. And many of us have mastered being churchy. Many of us have mastered putting the church look on. We know how to say amen at just the right time. We know how to move at just the right moment. We know how to lift our hand when everybody else is. But behind all of your shouting, behind all of your celebrating, there's somebody who can testify that on the inside, I'm toe up from the flow up, because you just don't know the stuff I had to get through to get to this place tonight. But may I bless your soul? He sees you. He sees you. He sees you. His eyes are on you. His eyes have spotted you. You can't get away from the glance of our God. He sees you right where you are. The Bible says Jesus saw her. And when he saw her, read the text. The Bible says in the New International Version, his heart went out to her. King James Version says he had compassion on her. Because not only did he see her, but he sensed her pain. Beyond all that was going on, he sensed her pain. And his heart went out to her. He had compassion for her. This means more than that he just felt sorry for her. Well, the Greek word there literally means he's in the skin of another. It literally means that he got in the skin of this mother and felt everything she was feeling. He experienced everything she was experiencing. He was going through what she was going through. I grew up in a little city called Chicago, yeah. And in Chicago, Illinois, I grew up at Emmanuel Baptist Church. 8301 South Damon Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60620, where Reverend Dr. L.K. Curry was my pastor. When I was growing up, you had to learn how to say it just like that. And so I grew up at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And at Emmanuel Baptist Church, we used to sing hymns all through service. This is before the days of praise and worship. This is when the deacons used to line up across the front of the church. And one would sing a song. Another one would read a scripture. Another one would get down on his knees and start praying. By the time he finished praying, he would hoop better than the preacher could hoop. And then they'd get up after devotion, go sit on the front row and go to sleep. Then they'd worship. I didn't mean that, Brother Deacons. I'm just clowning. That was in my church. That's not in your church. I get it. And when they would finish with devotion, we start singing hymns in church. Now, we didn't have praise and worship. We just sing hymns. And one of the hymns they taught me back in the day, when a little something like this, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Here's the refrain. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. And I wonder if there's anybody in the building tonight who is grateful that you have a friend like Jesus, who senses your pain, who feels what you're feeling, who goes through what you're going through. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Is there anybody grateful that he senses your pain? Well, the one who came in here this night thinking you got to go through it by yourself. Oh, no, you don't. For the one who thinks you have to endure it all alone, no, you don't. For the one who thinks that nobody else will share the experiences that you have to deal with, I came to tell you that your Jesus senses your pain. His heart goes out to you. Not only did he see your church, not only did he sense her pain, but then Jesus spoke to her. Oh, yes, he did. Listen to what he says. It's so beautiful. He says, don't cry. Oh, you missed it. No, because the pathos with which he speaks is so beautiful that he speaks to her in gentle and loving and kind words. He says just two little words, don't cry. Okay, you got King James Version. I know what it says. It says, weep not. But few of us talk like that. Jesus was simply saying, don't cry. Now, church, I appreciate that, but may I be quite honest with you? When I first read the text, I was like, Jesus, how you going to tell mama don't cry. You know what she's going through. You know what she's dealing with. You know she's headed for at least the second time to the cemetery. And you're going to tell her not to cry. She's lost her husband. She's lost her son. She has no visible means of support. How are you going to tell her, don't cry? And I must admit to you, it hurts me. These pseudo-sophisticated church folk see us going through what we're going through. See the tears in our eyes and have the nerve to tell us, don't cry.
Uh-huh.
Every now and then when I've heard that, I want to look back at them and say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the pain that I'm feeling. How are you going to tell me not to cry? I must admit, I'm saved to the bone and sanctified to the marrow, but sometimes I want to revert to my pre-Christian days when somebody has the nerve to tell me, don't cry. And I had to query Jesus. I had to wonder, why would he tell her, don't cry? And then the light bulb went off. It's like what the philosophers say, the psychologists say. It's the aha moment of understanding. I had that aha moment. It literally meant to me, this is not just some regular Joe telling her not to cry. This is not just some regular fella off the street telling her not to cry. This is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of the living God. And when Jesus uses phrases like this, it literally means that I want you to heighten your expectation, because I'm about to do something in your situation that will literally blow your mind. Is there anybody in this building today who can testify that when Jesus says, don't cry, when Jesus says, have faith in God, when Jesus says, cheer up, my brother, when Jesus says, look this way, it literally means he's about to hook you up in ways you would never have imagined. Is there anybody in here who's ready to dry your eyes tonight because you believe he's about to blow your mind? And if nothing else, we've got to learn how to walk each day with great expectation. I don't know how you feel about it, but I wake up every day with great expectation. God, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you're going to do it. But I just believe that if you woke me up this morning, you're going to do something phenomenal in my life. Is there anybody in here got great expectation? You just believe he's going to hook you up in ways that will blow your mind. I like your pastor. I'm a music lover. I love music. And I remember that old school gospel song by the Clark Sisters. Clark Sisters sang a song years ago. Said, I expect a miracle every day. God will make a way out of no way. Just believe and receive it. God will perform it today. I think they got happy here. They said, hey, hey. Just believe and receive it. God will perform it today. And I wonder if there's anybody in the room today who says, I don't care what happened in my past, I still have great expectation for my present and my future. I believe that God brought me into the sanctuary tonight to let me know I could cheer myself up, I could dry my weeping eyes, I could walk out of here better than I came in here, because trouble don't last. Help me preach this sermon tonight. Trouble don't last always.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, I feel like preaching tonight.
Hallelujah.
Text says, he says, don't you cry. I got this under control. Dry your tears. I'm about to take good care of my own. He says, don't cry, because Jesus is deeply affected by every one of our predicaments. But can I push it just a bit farther? Because not only does the text teach me that Jesus is deeply affected by every one of our predicaments, but secondly, the text teaches me that Jesus requires that we adjust our position. Here comes the responsibility in the text. Because everything is not on the onus of Jesus. Sometimes Jesus requires that we do some things to participate in our own progress. Okay, I lost a few amens right there. You usually use amens on responsibility sermons, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I said that sometimes Jesus requires that we participate in our own progress. Here's literally what Jesus says. Jesus says, listen, if you do what you can do, I'll come along and do what you can't do. Should have been a few more amens right there. Can I give it to you again? I said, sometimes Jesus wants us to participate in our own progress. So he says, if you do what you can do, then I'll show up and do what you can't do. If you tithe, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's some things that the Lord Jesus requires that we do so that we might see his miracle working power in our lives. And so the Bible says that after Jesus speaks to this mother, he does something that by any Jewish standard would be reprehensible. He walks up to the coffin and he touches the coffin. You got King James Version, it says he touched the bier. B-I-E-R. He touched the bier. Touched that which the dead boy was laying on. He touched that which meant there was no hope in sight. He touched that which represented the termination of the situation. He laid his hands on that which everybody thought there was no hope left for. He said, I know you gave up on it, but I'm going to show you I haven't given up on it. And I'm going to lay my hand on what you think is a dead thing. And I'm going to prove to you that you ought not put a period where I put a comma. I'm enjoying myself. And I wonder if there's anybody in here who's already given up on some situation, given up on some circumstance, given up on some person in your life, and you thought there was no hope for that person. You thought there was no hope for that situation. And God snatched you into Shiloh on a Wednesday night to tell you, I'll still put my hands on that which nobody else would touch. I'll still put my hands on that which you think is dead and gone. I'll still put my hands on it, and not only will I touch it, I'll start talking the dead stuff. He touched the beer and then started talking to the boy. He started talking to the dead boy. Folk must think he done lost it now. Folk must think he is out of his mind. But Jesus speaks to the boy and requires responsibility of a dead boy. He says, my son, young man, get up. Not a long conversation. Not a discussion. Not a long discourse. No, he just used a few words for in my Bible. Young man, get up. Because it doesn't take Jesus all day to do anything. When Jesus makes up his mind to do something, your Jesus can do for you in a moment what other folk can't do for you in a lifetime. And I wish you stopped depending on Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. Excuse that vernacular. I wish you stopped depending on everybody in your circle, in your sphere of influence, and just start depending on your Savior. For he is able to do for you in a moment what other folk can't do for you in a lifetime. Is there anybody in here who can testify? He's able to heal your body. He's able to save your soul. He's able to forgive your sins. He's able to fix your family. He's able to pay your bills. He's able to give you peace. He's able to give you joy. He's able to give you victory. He's able to give you a new lease on life. He's able, I tell you, the Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. According to the power that is at work within us. The Bible says, he said, young man, get up. I ain't playing with you. Time to turn this nonsense around. Time to fix this situation. Your mama been crying too long. These folk been sorrowful for too long. Get up. And that's a word for somebody in this place today. Throughout the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus challenging folk to adjust their position. Meet him, if you please, at the home of Jairus. We get to the home of Jairus. Jairus has come and beckoned for Jesus to come home with him, for his 12-year-old child lay sick at the point of death. By the time he got to Jairus' house, the Bible says that 12-year-old girl was dead. So dead was she that the professional mourners had gathered all around the house, inside and out. There were those who were weeping and wailing because this 12-year-old girl had lost her life. Jesus got there, taking Peter, James, and John with him. He saw all these professional mourners screaming and hollering, no faith in sight. And he began to put some folk out the house because everybody can't hang around for your deliverance.
All right.
Is this thing on? Did you hear what I just said? I said everybody can't hang around for you with your deliverance. There's some folk you need to go home tonight and put out your situation because everybody can't hang around for your deliverance. Some folk are retarding your progress. And before you leave the parking lot, you ought to send a text message. Send a tweet, if you please, and say, I've enjoyed you. It's been fun. It's been real, but it ain't been real fun. So you got to go. Get to stepping. I love you, but you got to go. Sayonara. Arrivederci. Hasta la vista. Holla. Deuces. Peace.
What's that?
Everybody can't hang. Everybody can't stay around for your deliverance. God is up to something in your life in 2012. And those same folk who pulled you down in 2011 can't follow you to 2012. Is there anybody in here say, I got to press delete on some of these folk because they are slowing down my deliverance? Get up! Bible says when he put those folk out, just seven folk in the room, Peter, James, and John, mama, daddy, the baby, and Jesus. Jesus said, daughter, arise. That girl got up, and when she got up, Jesus said, now get that baby something to eat. You know that baby hungry. Get that baby something to eat. Gave her something to eat, and everybody celebrated the good things of the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord did when he got to that pool of Bethesda? Saw that boy who's been lame at that pool for 38 years, laying on that mat. And Jesus walked up to him and said, do you want to be made whole? And brother started making all kinds of excuses. I ain't got nobody to put me in the pool when the water gets troubled. Jesus said, I ain't asked you for no excuses. I didn't ask you whether or not you have somebody to help you. I asked you, do you want to be made whole? Because some folk come to the pool and ain't trying to get better. Oh, I can stay there for a long time, but I'm not going to tarry there. Some folk come to church, ain't trying to be better. Some folk come to the pool, ain't trying to progress. But is there anybody in here who says when the Lord says, do you want to be made whole, you better just answer his question. Because the Bible says, he said, if you want to be made whole, rise, take up your bed, and get to step in. He requires that we adjust our position. I've held you too long. Please pardon me. May I close a little mess? Please don't tell me that because I will keep going. I ain't preached since this morning. I feel like preaching. He says, get up. Adjust your position because you cannot see where I'm taking you if you're only focused in where you've been. You can't see where I'm taking you if you're only focused on your present predicament. So I want you to shift your position. For if you shift your position, you'll shift your gaze. The shift in position equates to a shift in perception. You'll see things differently. When you fix your focus on the Savior, your gaze, your perception, your mindset begins to change. You start saying stuff like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You start walking around talking about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You start talking like, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. When you shift your gaze, you start saying, weeping may endure for a night. But joy comes in the morning. Is there anybody in this building today who believes that if you shift your position, you will shift your perception? Young man, get up. The Bible says he sat up and started talking. The Bible says he got up, started talking. And everybody who saw him was amazed. Scripture says in New International Version that they were filled with awe. Wow. And everybody started praising God. Is that in your Bible? It's in there unless you tore it out. It's right there in Luke chapter 7. The Bible says that when he sat up and started talking, everybody was filled with awe. Wow. And everybody started praising God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They tell me the third time is a charm. I ain't got nothing to do till later on tomorrow, so let me preach it till I'm through. The Bible says that when the boy sat up and started talking, everybody in the hood of Houston where I come from, they said, everybody. Everybody, that's what I said. Everybody was filled with awe. Wow. And everybody started praising God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I'm closing. Here's my last little point. Last thing I'm trying to tell you is that the works of Jesus are to be accompanied by great praise. Jesus is deeply affected by every one of our predicaments. Jesus requires that we adjust our position, but the works of Jesus are to be accompanied by great praise. When the boy sat up and started talking, everybody was filled with awe. Wow. And everybody started praising God. I guess I need to ask you, has God ever wowed anybody in this building? Has God ever done something for you that gave you a jaw-dropping, eye-popping experience? And all you could say was, wow. Has God ever hooked you up so tough that you couldn't even believe it with your own eyes? You're looking at the miracle and you're still saying, wow. I can't believe what the Lord has done. If you've been walking with the Lord for a little while, you can testify. He will wow you every now and then. He will show you what nobody else is able to show you. He will do for you what nobody else is able to do for you. I'm so grateful we serve a Savior who is able to give us a jaw-dropping, eye-popping, wow experience that causes us to praise God. Because whenever he wows you, you can't sit silently like a statue in the sanctuary. Whenever he wows you, you'll find yourself saying hallelujah. And you didn't even intend to say hallelujah. Whenever he wows you, you'll find yourself clapping your hands, and you thought you were going to sit on your hands for the whole service. Whenever he wows you, you'll leap and jump in his presence because you know how good he's been to you. Is there anybody in this building today who can testify? He has wowed me over and over again, and I came by this Wednesday night just to give him praise for continuing to do great things in my life. Look at the text, church, because the text says that not just the holy rollers were praising God, not just the deacons and the preachers were praising God, not just the choir members were praising God, not just the sisters that shout every Sunday were praising God. No, when they saw what the Lord had done, everybody was praising the Lord. I wonder if there's anybody in the building today who can testify that church gets a whole lot better when folks cease to be spectators and they begin to be participators. Because every time you open your eyes, that's another miracle that the Lord has provided in your life. And you ought to be wowed because he gave you another lease on life. He gave you another chance to get right today what you got wrong yesterday. Is there anybody in the building who says, I didn't come in here just to sit and look at who was coming in here, but I came in here to put my gaze on Jesus and praise his name for everything that he's done? E-flat. I thank my God for the wonderful way he shows me the wonderful things he's able to do. And every now and then I just say, wow, in the presence of God. And you need to check your pew on this Wednesday night to see if everybody on the pew is praising God. Because everybody in the building has reason to bless his name. Everybody in the building has reason to lift him up. You may not praise him like somebody else, but everybody ought to be praising him. You may not holler like she does, but you at least ought to lift up your hands. You may not lift your hands like he does, but at least you ought to clap your hands. You may not clap your hands like they do, but at least you ought to pat your foot. You may not pat your foot like he may, but at least you ought to let a tear roll down your eye. For when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. My soul cries hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Is there anybody in here on a Wednesday night who says, I've got a reason to praise the Lord? The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. But wait, look again at the text, because the text teaches us that they're not praising God for what God had done for them. They were praising God for what God had done for somebody else. Uh-oh. Don't let your praise diminish now, because you know you're maturing in God when every praise ain't about you, when every praise ain't about your promotion, when every praise ain't about the money in your pocket, but every now and then you look over at your neighbor and see how God is blessing your neighbor, see how God is blessing your friends, see how God is blessing your pew partner, and because of what he does in their life, you can't help but praise God for them. And I need two or three folk in the building tonight to look around the sanctuary and find somebody who you know God has turned some nonsense into sense, and praise God not for you but for what he's done for somebody else. Is there anybody in here who will help me praise God that her son got saved? Help me praise God that their children got off drugs. Help me praise God that he got a brand new job. She got a brand new house. They got a brand new production. Is there anybody in the building that this praise is for you? Because I see what God is doing in your life. Is there anybody in the building? Well, help me praise God for somebody else. I'm going in my seat. Excuse me, Pastor Charles, for taking so long. But I got one more detail, and I'll leave you alone. The Bible says that when the boy sat up, he started to talk. Now, the text does not tell us what he says. My books and commentaries cannot tell us what he says. You got a smart pastor, but I'm pretty sure he can't tell you what he said. I don't know what he said, and I'm pretty glad I don't, because it leaves me the opportunity to tell you what I would have said if I had been a boy who was dead. They had had my funeral. They were on the way to the cemetery, and Jesus stopped the procession and told me to get up. I don't know what you would have said. I got two words, and I'll be in my seat. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody in the building? Gotta thank you. Anybody in the room? Don't mind saying thank you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Won't he make a way for you? Won't he open doors for you? Won't he provide for you? Say yes. 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 Yeah.
I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. All right? Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. No, you said it to the wrong person. Grab the person behind you and tell them, say, hey, you. I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. Come on, Uncle Richard, please. Let's do it. We'll be right back.
Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
48% of the Muslims in the United States of America believe that they are Muslim first, they are American second. Our purpose is to change this culture because they're infidel, and what they're doing is not pleasing to Allah, and we are the soldier of Allah who will make them do it.
Kamal Salim was born in Lebanon to a devout Muslim family. As early as 4 years old, he remembers sitting at the kitchen table while his mother taught him about the Quran and his duty to Allah and jihad.
From my childhood, my mom said, one day you'll be a martyr, my son. You will die for the sake of Allah and you will exalt Islam. She said, if you kill a Jew, my son, well, your hand will light up before the throne of Allah and the host of heaven will celebrate what you have done.
Kamal was seven when his parents sent him to Muslim training camps to learn to use weapons and engage and kill the enemy. The boys were also taught another, more subtle form of warfare.
We were training for what's called culture jihad, which is shifting cultures. Culture jihad is, it's unlike the sword, unlike the rifle, it is the jihad that will come into your world.
By his 20s, Kamal was chosen to wage cultural jihad on America.
In Islam, liberty, freedom, monarchy, all these are idols, and these must be brought down. So the liberty that you have in the United States of America, it's anti-Islam. You know, so America must be changed. So I moved to the Bible Belt specifically. The Bible Belt was the strongest of strongest. That's where the stout Christians are. And I want to take on the best of the best because I considered myself as a sword of Islam. I thought I'm anointed, I'm unique, I'm selected. I'm coming to our country and a culture to change it, and I have the power of Allah with me.
In the early 1980s, Kamal entrenched himself in a small Midwestern town. He began targeting men from poorer neighborhoods to recruit them to the Muslim faith. But one afternoon, his life would be in the hands of those he hated the most.
I was going from one place to another to do a recruitment, and that day I had a car wreck. The car wreck was so severe, I ejected out of my car, landed on my neck, broke my neck in two places. This man came running to me, and he said, don't worry, we're going to take care of you, and everything's going to be all right. The ambulance came and picked me up. And now I go to the hospital, the orthopedic surgeon in the emergency room looked at my chart, and he just said, son, we are going to take care of you, and everything's going to be all right. The second day I wake up in the hospital, and this physical therapy, head of physical therapy, come and read my chart. And he turned around and he said the same thing, word for word, we are going to take care of you.
At first, Kamal was frightened by their words, because these men were all Christians.
You see, in terrorism, if they said, we're going to take care of you, you'd better run.
Surgeries to repair Kamal's broken neck were successful, but recovery would take weeks. After being discharged from the hospital, he would need someone to care for him while he recuperated. Kamal had no one. So the orthopedic surgeon opened up his own home to this stranger.
In his home, they put me in the choicest room, in the most beautiful thing. I became like part of their family. They didn't see me any different. And now they have a basket set for Kamal. They put in money to free my bills from the hospital.
Kamal was overwhelmed with the outpouring of Christian love. As he recovered, he began to help out around the house with cooking and cleaning.
They have Jewish friends that came from Israel that they support, you know. And now I'm hugging Israelis and I'm cooking for Jews. I go, what has happened to me?
When Kamal was able to take care of himself and return to his apartment, the doctor had another surprise for him.
He said, this is the keys to the house, and here's an extra key to see your new car. We just want to bless you. You can come anytime you want. So I go to my home, and I go to my cold place that I haven't been there in months. And the dust is this thick. And I just got to settle this issue with my God to know that if it's real or not. So I walk inside. I shut the door, I go right in the eastern window, and I fall on my knees, and I put my hand to the heavens, and I cry out to my God, Allah, Allah, my Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? I'm okay with this, with the car wreck. I'm okay with all this, but why did you put me among Christians? I'm confused. These Christians and Jews, they are They're good people. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't want to kill us. They're not the same thing that I learned about them. Allah, these people have relationship with their God. These people, they cry out to the God and they answer them. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you love me. If you're real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice. Guess what Allah said that day? Absolutely nothing.
Kamal felt that because he questioned his faith, the honorable thing to do was to end his own life.
So I went to reach out my guns and put it in the right place and clock out. I heard the voice. The voice knew me by name. He said, Kamal, Kamal, Kamal. Why don't you call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And now I fell on my knees and I put my hands to the heavens immediately as I heard the voice. And I cried out with every fiber within me, God the Father Abraham, if you are real, will you speak to me? God the Father Abraham, if you are real, I want to know you. Well, God the Father Abraham came through the room and he filled the room with his glory. And his name was Yahweh. The Lord is one. In his hand, he has holes in his hand. He has holes in his feet. His name is Jesus. I said to him, who are you, my Lord? Who are you? He said, I am that I am. I said, I'm a simple man with a simple mind. What is that supposed to mean? He said, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am everything that is in between. I have known you before I formed the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Rise up. Rise up, come on. Kum. You are my warrior. You are not their warrior. And I said to him, he said, my Lord, I will live and die for you. He said, do not die for me. I died for you that you may live.
That day, instead of taking his life, Kamal gave it to Jesus. He now has a new mission and travels the country challenging Muslims to question their allegiance to Allah.
My heart desire is to reach out for my brothers and sisters, the Muslim out there, 1.5 billion Muslim, that they are living out there and they have not tasted freedom and that freedom in God.
It's been over 20 years since Kamal left the Islamic faith, and even threats of violence and death cannot stop him from sharing his story.
He is real, you know, and if you never experienced God before in your life, if you never tasted God, and if you think you got nothing to lose, when you're sitting in your home, whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim or a non-Christian or whatever you are, say, call on God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and say, if you are real, speak to me. I want to hear your voice.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, what a testimony. What a testimony. I just had to share that little bit with you this morning. God is faithful. And as Dr. Cosby has said, we got to praise him. We got to believe him. We got to worship him. We must give him our all. And I know many times we are busy and this, that, and the other, and we, you know, give more to something else, but we got to stop ourselves and remember, focus, remember to give God our all. And look, if he can change the heart of the Muslim, there's nothing too hard for God to do. Is there anything too hard for God today? And do we really want to praise him for our blessings and miracles? And praise him for the blessings and miracles of others. I can remember I was in Birmingham, Alabama, down with the senior bishop, Charles C. Woods. And whenever he would call different people up to minister to them, and he would call someone else up to stand with them, and he would say, I want you to begin to praise God for what this person is getting from God, because God is going to give you their overflow. Yeah, that's what he would do. We went down to Atlanta, and he had to speak down there and minister, and he called this woman up, and he ministered to her, and then he said, come here, Barbara Mack, And when he called me up, he said, I want you to praise God for what he's doing for this woman. And I began to praise God right there. I began to praise him, and my feet got light, and I began to dance, hallelujah, before the Lord. I was in a hospital in North Carolina with him, and he was down there ministering, and he called a woman up. And he ministered to this woman, and then he told me, he said, Barbara Mack, I need you to come and praise God for what he's doing for this woman, because this woman is becoming a millionaire. He said, and God told me to tell you, if you'll go on and praise him for her blessing, he's going to make you a millionaire. Barbara Mack, you're a millionaire. Praise God. And I began to praise him, and my feet got light, and I began to dance before the Lord. And I'll never forget these things. And he was that kind of preacher, because he taught us not to be selfish and to love everybody, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I learned from that, that you can befriend and you can work unto the Lord for anybody. Yeah. I was in Alaska and Fairbanks, and the doorbell rang, and I was cooking. I had injured my knee, the same knee that left me twisted the kneecap. And I couldn't really get around, you know, like I used to could, because I was hopping on the knee and would use a cane sometime. And so I went to the door, and there was this white young lady. And she asked if she could come in. She said she was from the Church of the Latter-day Saints. I told her, come on in, because I was cooking. And back during these days, I loved cooking. I had been on workman's comp from a job because I injured the knee on the job. I didn't know what workman's comp was. And the job applied for it for me, and they approved me. And so she come in, and I was baking a huge ham. And when I pulled that ham out the oven and she saw it, she said, because I had introduced myself to her, and she introduced herself to me. She said, Barbara, may I have a slice of that ham? I said, yeah, it wasn't my ham now. It was my boss ham. I was baking because they was remodeling a roadhouse that she owned up in Black Rapids, Alaska. So I cut a nice slice of that ham, and we began to talk, and God used my mouth to tell her she had to leave. She had to leave the Mormon, the Church of Latter-day Saints movement. Well, he began to tell her some other stuff, and she was in shock looking at me because she never saw me. I never saw her. We did not know each other before that day. Well, she come back another day, and she brought another young lady with her. And I'm sure she brought this young lady to see if God would say something to her, you know, so that she'll make sure she wasn't what we call tripping, or that she was losing her mind. So I forgot what I was cooking that time, but they asked for some of that, and I shared. And then I began to share what God told me about the second young lady, and I told her, I said, you've been thinking about leaving. I said, and you'll no longer think about it. You're out of there. You're leaving. I said, because God is showing the both of you, you know, that he's real and he's not the way that you think he is, you know. And so they left there and went on. The first young lady, after she left, the same daughter that's in the hospital now, she come downstairs and she looked at me and she said, Latter-day Saints. I said, yeah, he's no respecting person. She was shaking her head like, I can't believe you. I said, he's no respect of persons, and it makes no difference who you are. God is the one with all power, you know. And so if he tell me to say something to whoever, I got to do it. You know, I don't have a choice in the matter. I'm not my own. You know, I've been bought with a price, and without him, I can do nothing. And I said, I work unto him. So whatever he said, that's what I'll do. I'll go if I have to go by myself. All these things I said. So he sent them, that first one, he sent her, and then he allowed her to go back and share with the other one, and then he brought her. And whatever he said, I know it was the truth. I knew they left there. Yeah. I never saw them again. I never saw them again. Yeah. I had a little girl. She had to be about 4 years old. We called her Kelby. And her mother was in the military. And her mother would bring her over. My daughter had a daycare. And so she would bring Kelby to the daycare when my daughter had to go to training. And she would leave me with the daycare kids. I had babies, you know. And after school, children would come. And so Kelby never wanted to go home. And she didn't call me Miss Barbara. She called me Miss Barbin. The mother had gone out in the field. And, you know, when they go out in the field, they stay for weeks. And so when the mother come home to pick Kelby up, and Kelby says, "I'm not going." The mother said, "Ah," she said, "no, I'm staying with Miss Barbin." She said, "Kelby, you can't just stay here forever. And you didn't ask Miss Barbin if you could stay." She said, "I don't have to ask Miss Barbin. I already know. Miss Barbin want me here." And, you know, she started talking. And I was shocked at Kelby. I said, "Kelby," she was like, "I don't want to go with her. I want to stay with you." And so she came over by me and, you know, was hugging me and sticking close to me like, "Don't let them take me. Please don't let them take me." So I told the mother, I said, "Listen, Kelby can stay as long as she like." And I had three grandsons. And they would, you know, play with Kelby, and they would help me take care of Kelby. Grandmama, I said, "What? Kelby wants some juice." They treated her like she was a baby because she was the only girl. And so Kelby slept with me, you know, and she stayed close to me. And because I had to watch her because she wasn't, you know, my child. And it was three little boys in the house and other little boys, you know, coming after school and stuff like that. And I'm that kind of person, you know. I watch children. I don't just keep them. I watch them. And so the Lord blessed me. There was another lady who come, and she brought her daughter. And the little girl was named Michelle. And this baby couldn't have been no more than 4 months old. But the mother of Michelle, she would bring Michelle. And Michelle would just be a happy, quiet baby. Yeah, I would feed her, change her, bathe her, all this kind of stuff. Like she was a little doll. And then they brought another baby. I forgot this baby name, but he was so fat. Oh, my goodness. I used to pinch his little cheeks. And so these kids would be with me all day. And I had to twist the kneecap and hovering around, you know, but I took care of them. And the Lord blessed me. He blessed me for all the things that I did for these children. And when something was wrong, you know, the mother would call me. She would say, "Hey, Michelle," or whatever the baby name is, "running a fever." And I say, "Well, what you may need to do is take them, you know, to the emergency room and make sure they check them for an ear infection." I said, because babies get ear infections a lot. And she would call me back and say, "That's exactly what it was. The baby had an ear infection." God will use us if we allow him to, even in the simplest thing. But we have to be willing to be used by him. We have to be willing to accept what he allows. And whatever he says, this is what we're going to do. And we will be all right. Today is yet Testify Friday. And when God makes sense out of nonsense, anybody ever been there? Many things have gone on with me, and it just didn't add up. It didn't make sense. But when God got through, it made all the sense in the world. But we have to watch it. I think it was Sister Spinner and I talking yesterday, and she was sharing, you know, the things of God is foolishness to the world. And it is. And a lot of times we share with people, and they're looking at us like we crazy. Oh, no, that's not how that goes. Because they're looking for something deeper. They're looking for more. When God just simply spoke something. Because he's not a complicated God. Plain and simple. Nothing in between. No maybe, no might. Either it is or it isn't. Yes or no, up or down, over or under. In or out. That's the way God is. Nothing in the middle. Because he have no tricks up his sleeves for us. He said he know. He know what he think towards us. Nothing evil, nothing bad. And that it's good, and he's going to bring us to an expected end. This is what he said towards us. And if we believe, we're going to get all of these things. I can't wait until God begin to use everybody, and they got these testimonies. You know, he never used me like this before. I never did that before. I didn't know about this, you know, because we opening up daily unto him. We're preparing for his return. So whatever he called or chose us for, we're getting that done. Yeah, we want to begin to get it done. We don't want to hold back on I'm not ready. What do you mean you're not ready? What is that? You're not ready. Really, you was born ready if you have faith and you open up to him and allow him. Yeah. You just didn't know when you was born what you were born for. When I came into this world, I didn't know. In my childhood, I didn't really know. I knew this. I knew I was different. I'm talking about strange. I knew that. And I didn't feel strange in a bad way, like I was some kind of freak. I didn't feel that. But I would see things, and what I saw later on, it would come to pass. And I would be like, I saw that the other day. I wasn't asleep, wide awake. You've often heard me tell about my childhood friend. I saw his death. I saw it that morning. And before my ex-husband went to work, he said, what's wrong? And I told him, I said, well, I saw Dale kill himself, because Dale was my best friend. And his name was Dale Fed. And my husband had no problem with Dale, no problem at all, because Dale showed my husband respect, you know. She's like my sister. We came from the same neighborhood as children. We grew up together, and I just always favored her because she was Mr. Pittman's daughter, you know. And I told him what I saw. I told him the whole vision. By 4 o'clock that evening, I got the news that he had put the gun to his head, pulled the trigger. Well, he shot at the girlfriend, the baby's mom, and he missed her, but she ducked under the desk. He thought he had killed her, but he didn't. He put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger. But before that, they had an argument, and I saw the argument. And at the time, I didn't know he had a son. And he was telling her, hey, look, we need to work this out and get back together, because I don't want another man over my son. And if I can't have you, nobody will. I heard him tell her that. And when he told her that, I saw him put the gun, well, he shot her and then put the gun to his head. But when the actual live vision came out, he shot at her, missed her, put the gun to his head and pulled the trigger. I couldn't even go to that funeral. I knew back during that time I wouldn't have made it through, because I wasn't saved like I am now. You know, the Spirit of God wasn't ruling and reigning in my life. I knew I wouldn't have made that funeral right. You know, I might have not have screamed and yelled, but I would have just, I don't know, fell to pieces within myself. So I didn't attend. But he was my best friend. I could be raking, you know, cleaning the yard when he come, because I would rake the yard after the people cut it and bag up the leaves and the trash and set it out for the trash man. He would come from on the side of the house. He walked from one side of town all the way over to see me, and he would take the rake out my hand and start talking and raking the yard. And then he would bag up the leaves and put them outside the road for me, because my husband, a lot of ex-husband, he would be at work or something. And he would be like, well, what you doing to the car? I said, well, I'm backing it out, and I'm going to wash the mats. He was like, well, get the soap and stuff, and I'll scrub them down for you. He was that kind of friend. And so, you know, I just knew I was strange. I just knew I was different. I knew what I saw, it would come to pass. But I didn't exactly know what it was. I was young, you know. But once I received God, for real, no more form of godliness, no more denying the power thereof, no more ways that seem right to me, but the end thereof would be destruction, then I began to learn. God began to teach me. And so I'm so grateful for that today. You know, nothing big about me. You know, I'm not all of that in a bag of chips. Nothing like that plain and simple country. Oh, my goodness. Just country and plain everyday people. Love soul food, country food, all them kind of things. Yeah. I'm not big on Mexican food. There are some Mexican foods I like, Italian food, Chinese food, but I'm just straight up country. And you can hear it in my voice, and you can hear the words. Yeah, you can really hear the words many days. I don't say far, I say far. I get tickled at myself. Went to school. Yeah, went to school. But I'm just plain and simple every day, and I really don't want to change and conform to the world's way of thinking and acting. I just want to be who God made me, and I'm happy with that. I love that about me. Yeah, I love fried chicken, you know, macaroni and cheese, collard greens, cornbread. Yeah, I love that kind of thing, pot pie. Hey, chicken, turkey, beef, pot pie. Yeah, I like that. Homemade from scratch. Love homemade banana pudding from scratch, not with whipped topping, but with the real egg meringue on top. Yeah, you know I talk about food. Fried okra, you know, that kind of thing. I'm country, and I'm happy to be so. Yeah, somebody don't like who they are, you know, and they change who they are. I'm grateful for who God made me. Look at Louis. You on that food, Louis. Yeah, and I thank God for who he made me. Yeah, because one thing he did, he made me in his image. Yeah, and so he's all right with me being country, straight from the country. Florida is country. I don't, Jacksonville at least. Yeah, we country folks. We from the South. That accent. They say we don't say bicycle. We say bicycle. We don't say I'll be back. We say I'll be bike, like B-I-K-E. Yeah, and a lot of people come through and they be like, where you from? I say, Jacksonville, I'm from Florida. And really? I said, yeah, you don't hear that? No, we thought you was from up north. I'm like, come on now, stop playing with my emotions here. I know you hear that country accent. Yeah, but I thank God for it. I thank God for it, and I'm grateful. See, you heard that, grateful unto him for, yeah. I love it. I love it. But listen, the studio is open. And if there's anyone have something they would like to say today, maybe you want to give a praise report or prayer request or whatever it may be, please feel free to press that number one today and come in and share with us this day. And while I'm waiting, I see you, Jerry. I see you. While I'm waiting for others to come in, I have a request to play this morning. And I want to get it done. And then we will come right back to you, Jerry. Oh, and Brother Jermaine. Good morning. God bless you.
Couldn't hustle, just sitting down, but I couldn't sit.
not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Rance Allen. And I'm going to do your will. Oh, yeah, I like that one right there myself. All right, good morning, Sister Jerry. God bless you this morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Sister Barbara. I am well. How are you?
I'm blessed.
That's right. We're going to praise him in advance today. Just praise him. We're going to do his will. Hallelujah, God. I just wanted to say, yes, Sister Barbara, we have that southern drawl here in Jacksonville. We say them R's, we just drag them out. You say Ebba. I know my son want to choke me, but he got to remember, I'm country.
Okay.
I sent him to the great school, but I went to a country school. We say okay. Ebba. Stop that. And we go, uh-huh. What is uh-huh? But that's who we are.
Yes.
And I don't want to change who I am for real because God knows who I am. So I don't want to act like I'm from New York, New York. Hi there. Oh, I'm not there. Well, go sit down somewhere. See what you just go there? Sit down somewhere. We eat collard greens with cornbread. And sometimes, yeah. You know, when you grow up, Mama used to eat the cornbread and collard green with our hands. I'm like, what you doing, Mama? Oh, I'm getting a little bit of my juice. We got it. And I'm not ashamed of it. I am who I am, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Amen.
But what I am glad of, I'm not who I used to be.
Yes, yes.
I'm not that street runner, troublemaker. I'm not that person no more. And I tell God, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for putting me under your wings. Last night I was looking at the TV, and they got a settlement going for people that bought chicken, how they had raised chicken up so high or something. I don't know all the... But you can sign up for a settlement because the chicken people was overcharging on chicken.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, I think we're going to be seeing some decreases in chicken. That's going to make Calvin happy because he can eat chicken 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Oh, I think we're going to be finding them chicken wings now. But, yeah, I saw something on TV about a chicken settlement, how over a decade they've been overcharging people on chicken. Just go online and sign up. But I said, no, I'm not doing that. But chicken, anybody that feels like they've been overcharged, that's the whole United States been overcharged for chicken. They don't have enough money to pay the people. You probably get like an 82-cent check or something like that. That's not worth my time, but. Chicken settlement. Can you believe? I saw them little chickens. I'm like, there go them chicken wings while we couldn't been getting them. I bet you they're going to be available now.
Yeah.
Today, Lord, I want to take this time to say thank you. Thank you that I don't have corona today. Thank you that you're healing the individuals that have contracted corona. Thank you, Lord, that the flu season is coming upon us and we all will be saved. I've never had a flu shot. I don't believe I'll be taking the flu shot either because when my grandson Nana took the flu shot, she got so sick in bed for a month, couldn't get up. I think I'll pass on the flu shot. Yeah, yeah, I'm okay. And like they were saying that on the news last night, the symptoms you get with corona is the same symptoms you get with the flu. So I want to know how they're going to determine which is flu and which is corona. But I thank God today for life, strength, and I'm clothed in my right mind.
Amen.
I'm 65 years old, but God has took extremely good care of me, even when I was too sick. Stupid to take care of myself.
Man.
also, I want to bless Brother Anthony. Lord, have mercy on him. Be there for him, Lord God, for he needs you now. Good morning, Sister Eon. I hope I'm murdering your name. I know I'm murdering it.
Eon.
Good morning, Sister Rita. Yeah, her. Good morning, Sister Rita, and I pray that your son, Cal, start recovering soon. Pray that God sends blessings to you in the ways you have never thought of. But be there for you, Sister Rita. Good morning, Brother Louie and Sherry. Good morning, Sister Spinner. Enjoy this birthday weekend for the rest of your life. Good morning, Brother Frank. I hope all of you all are doing well. All of you. But just know one thing. I am very country. I was country when country wasn't even born yet. I was country. I'm just a country girl. And I like chicken and cake. So they're now going to put a settlement on that chicken. I know that chicken is going to be the cheapest thing you can buy. Thank you, Lord. Chicken and cake. I love to pop that chicken flat open and just suck the meat off that bone and eat that piece of pound cake. Woo! And some Kool-Aid. You know, I like Kool-Aid too, you know.
Oh, my goodness. She had to throw that in. Had to throw that in.
Bring it out the real country. I want you to know really how country I am. I'm not going to try to go to a restaurant and be embarrassed for ordering $1,000 dresses because I'm supposed to act this way. No, I don't act. This is who I am for real. Some days I take my teeth out. Some days I don't put them in at all. They're like, Jerry, put your teeth in. You look that way. I am who I am. Jerry, tell me your hair. This is back right here. God bless me with it. I'm not trying to act like I'm not this. This is who I am. I'm not an actor. If I was, I would have had an Academy Award. I am Jerry. I am in love with God. And ain't nothing nobody can do to change that. So everybody have a great weekend, and let's all stay safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sister Dot said they always asking her if she's from Texas. That's Southern accent. All right, Dr. Goodman. That's Southern accent. Yes, ma'am. All right, Sister Jerry, God bless you. I'm going to close your mic and open Brother Frank. I know I saw Brother Jermaine. Good morning, Brother Frank. God bless you. I received a gift from you this morning, and I thank you so much, sir. I thank you so much. Yes. Your mic is open, Brother Frank.
Good morning. Good morning to Sister Jerry. I just don't know about more in every morning I'm getting to be listening more and more, thinking I'm not alone. I eat greens with my fingers and cornbread because my grandmother and them did. Matter of fact, when my mother had me, she didn't have time to breastfeed me, so my grandmother gave me pot liquor and cornbread. I was raised up on pot liquor. Love it today, right now. Eating greens with my fingers. I went to California. They looked at me like I was crazy. Serving bread with my fingers. Matter of fact, when I went to Vietnam, I said, oh, my goodness, you people are descendants of mine. Because we was all sitting there. I used to sit down with baby son and them and eat with my fingers. Because it was part of it. And I'm like Sister Jerry and everyone else. I never changed who I was, and I was proud. They would say, "Oh, you," I say, "you give me, you show me somebody." But I did meet a couple of original LAans, that they call them, that was actually born in Los Angeles, California, and didn't migrate from somewhere. But as long as you be who God created you to be, and stay within His will, stay in His will, and trust Him, and be who you're supposed to be. You don't have to worry about it. Like she was saying, she could have got an Oscar. I got some Oscars even not being who I was. because you name it, I tried it. And if it didn't work, I'll try something else. I could have been an inventor, the great Charles said. I could have been a millionaire, but I just couldn't do. The man said, I just was too dumb to sign my name. So it all meaning one thing, that when God's with you, who can be against you? And he got us here to right now. And I'm so thankful and grateful that we are all here, able to enjoy each other and rejoice, even though we clear across the country. I'm on the West Coast, on the East Coast, so people's in the North, the South, East and the West, and all the islands around us and everything. I ask God to continue to watch over them, protect them, and keep us, Father. Keep us in your eye, and make sure, Father, that we all understand that you love us more than we could ever imagine. And I thank you. And I thank you, Father, for Jesus in the morning. I know I'm always hear what I need to hear and the truth so that I could be able to spread it all over the place. You don't need a car as long as these phone lines working. And if they're not working, they're going to have a phone that I could go directly to a broadcast. So I thank you for it, and I ask you to bless them all. And again, Father, bless all the ones that's on the line from Evangelist Mac all the way over to Brother Anthony. So that's cover everybody in between, Brother Louis, Brother Sion, Brother Simone. Sister Simone. Oh, my goodness. And Brother Buddy and all the rest of Apostle Bohawk. Wicked Wicked and all the rest of them. I know I'm missing somebody. But God knows my heart is in it, and I do feel that they all received mighty blessing that God you have stored upon my mouth to come out to bless them, Father, to continue to bless them in a mighty way so that they can see your mighty on their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Frank. God bless you this morning. And Sister Rita wrote me and told me, sent me a message, and she said, thank you, Sister Jerry. Her heart is full that you're praying for her son and for her family. And God bless you, and may God give you your heart's desires. And
amen.
So she's thankful for that. And I'm trying to get the rest of them, y'all. Okay. Yeah, CR, you knew I was tickled. You knew I was. I tried to tell her, but she just chopped that name on up and eoned and murdered it and everything. And she told you what she did to it. And I was just tickled. Is all. But we thank God this morning that he's on our side. And, you know, when I hear us say different things, oh, wait a minute. Brother Jermaine, where you at now? Come on back now, because I got time for you this morning to come in. Good morning, CR. Is this my buddy this morning?
Good morning. It's your buddy.
Good morning, Mr. Sunshine. Good morning. I'm Danny.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say good morning to everyone, to Brother Frank and everyone else who has been praying for us and wishing us blessings. I just want to say thank you, and, you know, blessings back to you and your families, too, and to you, Miss Barbara. I always like to say thank you for what you do for us, because your faithfulness in hosting this show, it's a demonstration of how we should be and how we should be stay faithful in the things that God has purposed us to do. So, you know, I just always want to say thank you.
Amen. Buddy, God bless you. I thank God for y'all. Thank God for the great surprises and everything. And I'm just looking forward to when we all can get back together again and do some things. And I want that. Is it active? I want that ackee again, buddy. Oh, he cooked that thing, y'all. Yes, Lord Jesus. So I'm grateful unto God to have a buddy that can cook. Yeah. See, y'all can bake a pound cake. Now, don't fool yourself, but a buddy can cook, too. And so I'm thankful and grateful unto the Lord for all the people that he put in my path that has been a blessing to me and feel that I have been a blessing to them. That is a wonderful thing. People don't owe you nothing. They don't owe me anything. So any little bit I get, I'm grateful unto the Lord for. Hallelujah. He favors me. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. So I thank him today. Listen, y'all know it. Brother Lewis said, I bet I ate $1 million worth of chicken. So I told him, I just want to see if I can get some of my millions back that I spent on chicken. I love a chicken wing, and I have bought many packs. The $10 packs, the $14, $16, $19. Yeah, let me get a little bit of that back from y'all because you overcharged me. Give me my change. And I found it, Sister Jerry, and I sent a copy to Brother Lewis so he could look at it. And they got a settlement. Yeah, they got a settlement on that ticket. Oh yeah, and I'm going to check it out and see what's going on. And Jerry said he might. What you said, Jerry, might give us 80 cents, 50 cents. But give me enough of them 50 cents, it's going to add up to something, and I'll be all right. Yeah, give me my change back. I overpaid. I'm not beating nobody out of nothing, tricking nobody out of nothing. Give me my change, and we'll be all right. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. All right, Brother Jermaine, I'm coming at you right now. God bless you, buddy. Y'all have a wonderful day, Dot and Sion. Thank you so much for the call this morning.
You too, Barbara.
All right. Good morning, Brother Jermaine. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sister Barbara. I'm I was doing okay. I've been dieting, but all this food talk is making me kind of hungry.
Uh-oh.
You know, turn to Jesus in the Morning Food Edition. Yeah, I'm from California, so I like pot liquor style greens too, but I'm. The only reason I don't use my fingers is because I'm lazy. I like the fork just because I don't have to do nothing. But, you know, I just wanted to kind of testify today to how God had blessed my family situation. Because we, like any family, you always got some members of the family that need a little extra help. But I've had several people who... You know, some of us involved in things they shouldn't have been. Some of us involved in homosexuality and some other stuff. And it just took enough trouble for them to get themselves into for God to kind of get their attention. You know, especially with all these things going on in the world, it seems like everybody's kind of in this period where they, you know, they put it around like kind of like a chicken with a head. You know, where there's just a lot of confusion. And I've had more people wanting to openly talk about the Bible, talk about what we actually believe, you know, versus what you're thinking.
We're going to give him a few. Wait a minute, did he get off? Oh, what happened to Brother Jermaine? He got knocked off. All right, him and Brother Frank. But he'll call back in. I know he will. So I'm going to close this mic and wait and see if he can get back in so he can finish. Yeah, we lost him. Hopefully he'll call back. There he is. Okay, we lost your Brother Jermaine. We can hear now.
Okay, yeah, it seemed like some technical difficulties. But what I was saying is just, you know, I had to give a praise report on all these things going on right now in our country, in our world, has people just kind of, well, I forget the exact scripture, but in derision, just a lot of confusion going on, a lot of, you know, guys kind of shaking us up where we had it so good over here, we just... To be honest, we didn't necessarily need God. We thought we didn't, but I've had more family members, in-laws, and others who just, they're going through it so much that they have no choice but to turn to God or turn to nothing. And I've had, some people might take this the wrong way, but I've been praying for a particular cousin-in-law who she was deep into lesbianism, and she was proud of it. And she would pray over her meals and everything, and it used to just irritate me a little bit. And so I said, well, let me just pray for her instead of just being irritated, because, you know, everybody has a sin. Long story short, her wife are in a, you know, situation where they're not together no more. I think that's a blessing, you know, because if you continue to live in these lifestyles, then there's a consequence. And one day, the lady she was with woke up and started coming back to normal. The reason I think it's a blessing, besides you're not supposed to be in that anyway, is there were children involved, and the poor children would be suffering with all this confusion. And I've never seen these particular kids so happy until they got out of that situation, because it was just so abnormal. So I'm not praying for anybody to suffer, but now I know it's a good opportunity to start, you know, preaching and teaching about the gospel and trying to get people's attention, because God's very good at that. When we go through trouble, he can get our attention, like what we're seeing with this coronavirus and all these economic issues we have in the country. So I just kind of wanted to testify to that, because I didn't think that this particular person would be coming out of anything. And, you know, lo and behold, one day she had just said that she knew she was in rebellion to God, and she knew the lifestyle she was living was wrong. But she was just, you know, she was continuing to do it anyway. So I praise God for that, because those situations, all these situations that look hopeless, they show you it's not over until it's absolutely over, until God says so. But as long as we have breath, he can still work with us, you know, and he can help us get out of our own way. So I'm thankful for that. And then also I would love to get some prayer requests in concerning my possible move out of state. It seems like doors are opening in areas that I didn't never think I would go, and Utah might be on that list. I know I told you I visited Utah a while back, but I just want to make sure that God is the one opening the door, and I'm not just chasing after something in my flesh, but I want to make sure I'm in the right position for wherever he calls me, for my family, and just continue to glorify him.
Okay. All right, we got you, Brother Jermaine. We got you. And I just want to say this. If God select Utah, I'm not saying that he has yet, but if he selected Utah for you and you're following his move there, it's going to take a constant stay up in prayer in that state, a constant stay up in prayer. Yeah, because we have some strong, I want to say, holes. I'll use that, strong holes there. Yeah. And so we trust God, and if he's sending you, he's got you covered. But your focus is going to be prayer because of the work that he's going to use you to do there. Mm-hmm. And it's already all right. And I want to share this, even finances to relocate and everything. It would be suddenly, Brother Jermaine, suddenly these things will take place. Yeah, because the work is there, and God is ready to use you in that area. Yeah. And I pray that it is, you know, Utah for the work. Yeah, for the sake of the work. Yeah. And so we give God glory. And intercessors, y'all heard his request. You want to pray for the move out of state, because he want to make his calling and election sure. But Almighty God, and this is the place where God is sending him and his family. So we will cover him in prayer. And Sister Rita, Brother Frank says that he's keeping your son and your family up in prayer. So I wanted to share that. I don't think I missed anybody's message to send. But we thank God for the work, because we know the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers. But we want to remember the labor that he called or chose us for, or called and chose us for. And charity starts at home. I know a lot of people, they want to go overseas and they feel like it's, you know, a lot of stuff they can do. But charity starts at home and spreads abroad. You know, we love home. Yeah, we love these people here. And a lot of things, you know, that we're going to do somewhere else is needed right here. Yeah, but many times we want to be able to say, well, I went here, I went there. But like Brother Jermaine, I want to make sure of my calling and election with Almighty God. And this is where he's sending me. Because there's a way. It seems right to a man, but the end thereof will be destruction. So we really want to be careful. Really want to be careful. Sister Rita said, thank you so much, Brother Frank. Blessings to you. So we're grateful unto Almighty God for what he's able to do for us, and that we can have communication with him and make our calling sure and election sure with him. And that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it is. That is a beautiful thing. Other tests they are using can't discern between flu and corona. Okay, I got you, Brother Louis. I got you on that one. Yeah. So, yeah, and Brother Jermaine on the woman with the wife and all of that. I believe this. We can go in any direction that we choose, because God do give us choice and we can choose. But if he chose you for something, or if he called you for a specific thing, you can do what you like. You're going to end up, it'll never work. You're just spinning your wheels. It will never work. Because your flesh, the thing of your flesh is not what he called or chose you for. He called or chose you to do spiritual things. And linking yourself up with natural foolishness, it won't help us. And we pray for these people. I pray for them. Because I couldn't imagine being that confused. I couldn't imagine being in a mental health state like that. I'm not operating in my mind. The devil done took it. And he got me thinking a whole nother way. It's false. It's an illusion. And I'm following this stuff. And the real thing is over here. And I hate what's real. I hate the truth. And I'm messed up. I couldn't imagine being like that, and nobody who's able to pray for me, not praying for me. Everybody's against me, you know, and I don't know what to do to come out of it. I don't understand, because I'm following what I feel. I'm following my flesh. I don't understand how to allow God to come in and bless me so I can walk in the spirit. But if somebody's praying for me, I can come out, and I can be who God says I am. Yeah, and I don't have to accept what the devil has offered me, because any mental health issues, those are demons. Those issues come from the devil. And at one point, they were saying it was mental health, and then all of a sudden, they started saying, no, that's not mental health. That's this, that, and the other. But the truth is what it is, the truth. And those of us that know the truth, we know about demons, and we know about mental health. Yeah, and we know how all of that add up. No way you could be two people in one body. You know, that's like this. You're going to love one master and hate the other, or you're going to hate one master and love the other. But you won't be able to do both. Yeah. And so we thank God today. We thank God for you reminding us, Brother Jermaine, and we will keep these type people in prayer as well. Okay, Brother Frank, I open back up your mic from the 111. So you back in here. If you have something you would like to say, your mic is back open. And while we're waiting to see if anyone else has something they would like to say, and we're going to pray for Brother Jermaine as well. I want to say good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman and Sister Mira Ann, and good to see you this morning. My wiki. Sister Rose Brown, good to see you. Sister Samoa, good to see you today. Sister Simone, and Sister Melanie Rose, and Sister Angela, and Sister Laura, Mr. Mason, and Miss Deborah, Alexis, and Lachelle, and Sister Andrea Stenner, at Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, Sister Jerry, Sister Annalie Foote. Good morning, Mama. And Sister Angela Foote, God bless you. God bless you. And always good, Mama, what I think about you. Always a good deal. Yeah, it reminds me just how faithful God is to us. Raise this woman up from a stroke and heart attack, all these kind of heavyweight things. He raised her up. And so we thank God. Good morning to you, Sister Kim Hopps, and Sister Michelle, and Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and Apostle Claudia Boatwright. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. And good morning to you, Brother Louis, Brother Jermaine again, Brother Anthony, Brother D, Brother Dan, Brother Mike Hopps, and Brother George West Perry, Brother Lee Hamilton. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. And Brother Justin Gilmore and Brother Marquez Griffin this morning. Good morning to you. And God bless each and every one. I'm praying I didn't miss nobody on the list this morning. And we just thank God for every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast. I thank God for you today. And I look at the numbers sometimes, and I be like, Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you. And look, if you want to write me today, you can write me at P.O. Box 8032, Fleming Island, Florida, 32006. You can write me there today. P.O. Box 8032, Fleming Island, Florida, 32006. And if you want to call, the number is 904-644-7912. 904-644-7912. If you're over on Facebook, Jesus in the Morning is over there. Freedom Doors Ministries is over there. And I'm your host, Barbara Jean Pittman, and I'm over there. So if you can contact me at all of these places for prayer, if you need prayer, you can contact me. And we just thank God. We just thank God today. I thank him because he's a way maker. I needed groceries. Y'all hear me? I needed groceries. Next week, I'll be able to buy my own groceries. But this week, I needed groceries. And the Lord blessed me yesterday. All we got to do is wait on him. Just be patient and wait on him. And be of good cheer. He's going to strengthen your heart. And the Lord moved. Yeah, well, I could get groceries. Yeah, what I wanted to get, you see. Yeah, to go with what I had. And so I'm grateful this morning. Got water and all that kind of thing. And God is faithful. God is faithful. And we thank him today. We thank him for his faithfulness. And I'm not ashamed to say what I need. And I'm not ashamed to say what I don't have. Yeah. Because I serve a risen Savior, and there's no need of me being fake and acting like I'm who I'm not, you know, and I got what I don't. No, I'm just not that kind of person. And I was taught over the years that, you know, if you tell the truth about your situation, you in dire straits, you need some help. Tell the truth, and somebody may hear the truth and be willing to help you. But you around here lying and acting like I got it going on. I see so many people do that over on Facebook. I'd be like, Lord, have mercy. Now, they need to cut this out because I know them personally, and I know that's not their case. And I learned over the years that when you see a woman constantly posting pictures of her and her husband, every little thing she telling what he does, he's not doing all of that. That's her. That's her. Now, when you see that man on there posting and da-da-da, that's him. And he is really that to his wife. And a lot of people keep a lot of things hid because everybody want to feel loved by their spouse. You know, everybody want to feel important and respected by their spouse. And sometimes this is not the case. I see women lying all the time. Well, he did this. Well, Sugarfoot, we saw what you did for him on Facebook, but I just missed what he did for you on Facebook. That's all. Maybe I missed it somewhere. Now, you ain't missed nothing, Barbara. He didn't do nothing. That's her with that talk. And we're supposed to love our spouses. But if you love them so you're putting them before God, you're going to have a lot of problems in your life. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Remember this now. Remember this. So when your marriage and your relationship starts slipping and slide, think back to yourself. Did I put him before God? What did I do? Because he said, you just can't do it. He's a jealous God. And I understand why he deserves all of the attention. He deserves all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. Because he told us, put no trust in no man. Yeah. So I can't put my trust in man. I got to put my trust in God. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful unto him. And I thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to get Bishop Ellis in here one day. Neil C. Ellis, I'm going to look for his messages and bring him one day for us, hopefully next week. And it will be all right. It's his birthday, 61. Go ahead, Bishop. And bring him in next week and see what the Lord, will do through his messages that he sent to Bishop Ellis. And I am just truly grateful unto Almighty God, for he is good. He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is. For he is good. For he is worthy. Yes, he is. Worthy, for he is good. Hallelujah, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Hallelujah, he is good. I can hear that. I can hear that. So look, is there anyone else have something they would like to say? Because I'm going to one more song of the morning, and I think I played that particular song right there. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For he is good. Yes, he is. For he is good. Oh, yeah. Oh, give thanks today unto the Lord, for he is good. Yeah, I believe in praising him. And I just believe the more we praise him, the quicker the blessing comes. And I'm just remembering right now, suddenly. Oh, yeah, the blessing will come suddenly. The miracle will come suddenly. Yes, because God is able. Hallelujah. Oh, he's good. He's good. He's good. And so we're thankful unto him this morning. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on 1 minute. Good morning, Sister Simone. How are you?
Good morning, Miss Barbara. How you doing today?
I'm blessed. I can't complain.
I'm glad. Good morning, everyone. I know it's been a while, but I just want to say, Miss Barbara, I just pray that all things work together, you know, because you taught me a lot. Say all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So, and you always tell me God is faithful, and he is faithful no matter what situation we're in. And the song said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good. Even when things don't go right that we think supposed to go one way and they don't, he is still good, because it took me to get outside of myself for me to see that. It took me for me to be in a place of where's everybody, for me to know that he is good. Yes, he is good, because he's allowed me to have peace. He's allowed me to have the things I need, and he's taking care of me. So, give God praise no matter what, no matter what, because, you know, sometimes I think I'm going to go back to what you said a little while ago. We were big and bad enough to do this and big and bad enough to do that. Okay, but when we standing in that pile of mud and the sand is quickening it up, you know, the sand is thickening and we can't hardly get out, who's keeping us there? Who's keeping us right there from the sand coming up to our necks and then up to our heads? Okay, so it's God. So give him thanks and give him praise no matter what, because we ain't doing this thing. We think we are, but we're not. Give him praise. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love all of y'all. And God, I put him first. Like, I'm really a different person now. You got to put him first. And my teaching, I mean, my learning is not in vain. I know that. It's not in vain. Okay, honey, I just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Simone, I can hear. Huh? Hey, glory to his majesty. I can hear a change. A wonderful change has come on. I can hear change in your voice. Yeah, I can hear strengthening in your voice. Yeah, God is good. And continue on. Don't give up. Keep the faith, because God is faithful. And that good thing he began to do in you, he will continue. Yes, ma'am. We won't stop it. And sometimes it don't look like we get nothing. But you keep going in the Lord and see what happens.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Oh, that's all right today, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. For he is good. Yes, he is. He is good. We may not be good, but God is good. And we're grateful unto him. Thank God for each of you that called in with a testimony or to share, to say something about the Lord this morning. Thank God for Sion and the crew calling in, surprising me. I thank God this morning. He's on our side. And he's not done, Sister Samoa, not done. And I'm going to just say this to you, and I want you to watch God move suddenly. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying right there. And watch God move. Hallelujah. And you're not alone. Yes. You're not alone. You're not alone. Yeah. You got my cell number. Hit me up. That's all you got to do is call. All you got to do is call me. Yeah. I will admit some days I'm on the phone a little bit longer than I should be, because I'm trying to help this one or let this one work it out or have it go. And I'm on a little bit longer and I let some calls drop. But look, call me. Call me still. Call me back. And yesterday I turned the phone off because it's storming here. We even had a flash flood once. I was like, what is this? and a thundering and lightning and carrying on, so I turn the phone off. But as soon as it's over, I turn the phone back on. And I know some people who don't know me as long as others have, but those the old business in the morning people, who they know, you know, what I usually do, so they don't really do a whole lot of calling, but they do call me when they can, if they can, or send their email or send it something or say something on Facebook. But call me, let's talk. And it will be all right. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're talking of his wondrous work. Hallelujah,
yeah.
God is faithful.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit... Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my sister.
Yeah, and Sister Rita said thank you too.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Thank you. You too, Brother Frank.
Yes, God bless you and all my deepest to know, and I've been keeping you up in prayer, and just remember one thing, God is with us all. And as long as God is with us, we're all right. A sweet Holy Spirit. He works in us and reigns and walks in us more than you could ever imagine. And no matter what the world sees, God sees it all. And he watches over all. And he blesses all. And we're going to continue to lift you up in prayer. And know one thing. He who is with you is greater than he who is in the world. And we know that God is working it out as we speak, because he knows he's the beginning and the end. He's the alpha and the omega. He is a comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter that you never can imagine. So I just thank God for you, and I thank God that you are acknowledging to him and give him all the glory, honor, and praise, and everything is all right. And watch the manifestation of it as we speak. Starting now and forever. This is
thank
the first
you.
Day of your life.
Thank
and
you.
Let God walk, reign, rule in it forever. Because he will. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you. Hallelujah. That was from heaven right there. Hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you this morning. We give thanks to
you.
Hallelujah. All your words. Your word is your word. Hallelujah. Deborah Frank, that was from heaven right there. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. All the great unto you this morning. We thank you, Lord. Listen, we out of time, and I'm going to pray us out. We pray the Lord bring us back to Monday morning, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Another episode of Jesus and Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all that has been said and done. Father, we thank you for what you're doing right now. We thank you for what you're going to do. Great and mighty things. But Father, there's none like you. Hallelujah. You're almighty God that has all power. Father, you're on our side today in spite of us. You're looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. You said we could cast our cares upon you, for you careth for us. And Father, we cast them, all our cares upon you today. Hey, glory, for you careth for us. We thank you, Lord, for the move in our lives. God, it may appear that nothing is moving, but we know you're yet moving because you yet love us. As we depart this weekend, Father, I ask that you would shower down your blessings and your miracles suddenly upon your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, those coming through the archives and the podcast as well, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless our going out this weekend. Bless our coming in. Father, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We give you glory today. Hallelujah. We give you the honor and the praise. And again, we are asking it in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves that you're forgiven. Ah, hallelujah. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend. In the name of Jesus, starting September 17, 2021. Again, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to play our last song of the morning. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Do you meet Jesus?